Shawn Michaels, I will get you, and you will rest in peace.
It's a show by Chris and Neil with all great movies. They are the real deal. We watch them all, so you don't have to. It's movies that don't suck.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners of all ages, it is a brand new, spanking new, shiny new, right out of the package, smells good like the day you open up your Pringles, new episode of Movies That Don't Suck and Some Do. My name's Neil.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're going to rock it in the free world. Woo! Because we're going to represent not one, but two movies in this podcast. And to be honest, this is also... We're going to throw this out there because I know me and Chris hasn't talked about it yet. So this conversation is going to happen. But it is the Oscar episode as well. We got to talk about Mr. Little Oscar and all his buddies doing his thing that he does.
Yeah, I was there. I watched the whole fucking thing this year. There's some party.
Yeah. I watched it all last night.
Oh, yeah.
When I was working on everything for the podcast. And stuff like that. So I watched it completely beginning to end, red carpet, all the above.
No slaps this year, so.
Then I went to YouTube and watched all the videos of all the parties afterwards. Mm. Oh, man, I can't believe the super actors. Did you see those actors doing the blow, like, on the back table in the bathroom?
Yeah, I mean.
I'm not going to say who their names were because I don't want to get in trouble here, but, man, go look it up.
It just looks like the Oscar was so exhausting that afterwards I'm like, I'm just going to go home, guys. I got my statue on.
Well, I mean, some of them go home, but some of them, like Mr. Kimball pointed out, know how to go all night long. All right. But the two movies we were talking about this weekend, guys. First, Amazon Prime has shoot us up with the first R-rated comedy of the season. Mm-hmm. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Starring the one, the only, Don Cena.
I will fuck you, all right? I will enter you.
You're going to enter me? Did you hear what he said?
What are you talking about right now?
I'm just trying to intimidate
you. You're just talking about raping him.
You're not about that life, champ. I can see it.
Oh, I am about that life. No. I will get crazy up in here. You like movies? We'll make a movie.
Oh, God.
We'll make Mama Say Knock You Out, starring my fist in your dick hole.
Yeah, that's from another R-rated comedy was in called Trainwreck, right?
Trainwreck. I got a whole prediction, a whole way of talking about this later that I think I came up with it. I had an epiphany last night while I was watching the Oscars and stuff. Okay. And I love the poster for Ricky Sinicky, man. That is a great
poster. I
can't
stand the name of this movie, but man, we'll talk about this later.
Ricky Sinicky? Yeah. I love the root name, Ricky Sinicky. Yeah. It's like me, myself, and Irene.
Yeah, or it's very Fairly Brothers name for a movie.
Yeah, that's what, it's like Something About Mary. Mm-hmm. You know, like we'll talk about like all this later. Also in the movie, the one, the only, at this point, let's just be honest, man. Is he like our William Dafoe, the next generation? Is he like, who is, because he's like been in just movie after movie that, you know, some good, some bad. And it kind of reminds me of the William Dafoe or the Christopher Walken.
William Dafoe, yeah.
Of the new generation. And that is Mr. Zac Efron. What
the fuck are you talking about?
You're trying to be my friend?
Yes.
Well, why don't you go fuck my girlfriend again?
What?
Yeah.
I thought we were over that. What do you...
How the fuck could I be cool with that, man? You had sex with my girlfriend!
What are you talking... We said all those things, right? They rhymed! What the hell was that?
We said some shit that rhymed? Are you crazy, man? How the fuck would that make me feel better? You don't think I was clearly trying to mask how I really felt, so I tried to bro out with you?
I don't know! You're a good actor! What the fuck am I supposed to think?
Get the fuck out of here.
God, dude, take your shit out on someone else, all right? This isn't about me.
Okay.
That's right, Pete. Walk away.
That's from Neighbors.
I know. And again, the reason I use that clip, I'm going to tell you why later, because I literally have this whole epiphany came about.
Okay.
Which is really weird. We'll have to talk about it here in a little bit. Andrew Santino is in this as well.
And there's no way to prepare you for a prostate exam as a guy. There's not. You may think, I mean, there's some guys out there that go, I know a trick. You're like, well. It's different than you think. And for the first time in my life, when I went to get a prostate exam, I kind of understood what it might be like to be a woman to hook up with someone for the first time. I did a little bit, ladies. Like, I got it. A little bit. Because I was in this cold, uncomfortable room with no art on the walls. It was very well lit for some reason. I was just in there alone, and then he just pops in real confident and brazen, and he just goes, take your clothes off. And I was like, oh my God. You don't want to chat or nothing? A little bit.
Yeah, that's from a stand-up. It's very funny.
Your mom's a stand-up.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-mm. Well, it seems that most of the people in this movie are stand-up actors, including the next one, Mr. Jermaine Fowler. And I got this clip like, okay? Just for you.
I'm fine. I'm just hungry. Just really hungry. I was like, you want me to help you buy the apple pie? That'd be very nice. Thank you so much. My name's Anna. I'm like, no, my name's Jermaine. Nice meeting you, right? And, like, I ain't gonna lie. She looked kind of good. Like, she did. Like, she might have been, like, 1 week homeless. Like, maybe, like, a couple, like, she just got homeless. It didn't hit her yet. So, you know what I mean? So, I'm like, this might work. So, we
That's what you gave me, dude.
I sent you the wrong YouTube video.
Well, that's okay.
All right. So I got to tell you really quick. The clip I did send you at Jermaine Fowler is a twin, and his twin's name is Jerome. And he's like, I chose a different way. I chose love and respect in my life. My twin, on the other hand, chose jail. Uh-huh. And like, it was a great little clip about twins that I sent you. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
We'll still get something out of it.
But also, right beside that, the one, the only Mr. Frank himself from Mr. Shameless, and also known as the guy who shoots his wife in, Dirk Diggler.
Boogie Nights.
Porn.
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights. Yeah. William H. Macy.
You feel good, right? So take a break. Driver 8, take your foot off the gas for a couple of seconds. Coast. Alcohol was created to distract us from existential dread. Human beings are the only species that knows of its own mortality. And I gotta say, we do a pretty good job dealing with that fact.
Thank God for alcohol.
Can you imagine having to live with impending death sober? Look at Lip. When's the last time you saw him smile? Me, I've always been the most fun member of this family. You know why? Because I get it. Sobriety is a fool's game.
Yeah, that's from Shameless.
Sobriety is a fool's game. Cheers to that. Woo-hoo-hoo! That you're sober.
Yeah, I'm definitely sober. Yeah, it's not a suck thing. I have plenty of friends who are sober. So
it's okay. Sobriety is a fool's game, man. All right. And then the second movie that we'll be talking about this movie is the big movie out at the movie theater this week, Imaginary, starring the one and only DeWanda Wise.
So if I'm a sex addict, what does that make you?
I'm Greer Childs. I'm a grown-ass man.
And I'm a grown-ass woman. I can't enjoy sex. If I'm such an addict, why don't you leave me the hell alone?
Now you're getting defensive.
No, I'm not getting defensive. If I'm an addict, then I should quit cold turkey, right? You, a numero uno.
Yeah, that's from something on Netflix. What's it called?
She's All That.
Okay.
Not She's All That. Gosh, dang it. Now you made me mess it up because you're like, that's something from Netflix. You messed me up, man. Why are you messing me up on today, bruh? What's going on? You need to get the energy going. You need to get. She's got to have it.
Yeah, that's right.
She's got to have it.
No, darling. All
right. Yeah. All right. Tegan Burns is in this movie as well.
Third grade's a nightmare. That's when I moved here from New York. All the kids made fun of the way I talked.
How did you talk?
Can I have a glass of water? Or a cup of coffee? I sounded like a truck driver. Oh my God. I worked so hard to get rid of that accent so I could fit in here. It's actually pretty cool that you don't care what people think.
Well, you can talk however you want with me. Hey, let's do a TikTok. Do your New York voice.
Oh yeah, but you have to talk funny too.
I know Elvish.
I don't know what that means, but yes.
That's from the Mighty Ducks season one.
Woo woo, Mighty Ducks!
Yeah, yeah.
No? Also in this movie, the one and only Piper Barn. Piper Braun, I'm sorry.
She got cooked. A bitch lived with her boyfriend.
What boyfriend?
He was waiting in the parking lot, but he's not Mr. Right. He's Mr. Right now.
So yeah, that's from, I forget which TV show.
Country Girl. It was a show that was going to be, it was supposed to be a big hit. And a lot of people watched it, I guess, but Netflix cut it anyway.
Yeah, well, they cut a lot of stuff.
They cut a lot of stuff. Yeah. They're becoming the HBO of streaming services, mm-hmm. where it's like stuff people like, they're like, yeah, we'll just get rid of that shit. What else? And last but not least, Tom Payne.
For the first time, I feel like I belong. Trying to make sure you and Sasha became a part of this, made me a part of this. When I was first here, I was never here. I always found it hard getting close to anyone. Neighbors, friends, boyfriends.
You should try it sometime. Even if it doesn't last.
So that's from The Walking Dead. He played Jesus.
You're from Walking Dead. Yeah. Yes, he played the Jesus. It's good that when people play the Jesus.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to fuck with the Jesus.
You can find us on moviesonsuck.network, facebook.com/moviesonsuckpodcast. We're on w2mnet.com. That's W number 2. MSMMoviesNet.com. Find us on a bunch of third podcasts. We're on, did I say Facebook already? I must have. We're on X.
I wasn't listening. I'm reading the next thing.
X at MTS Podcast, Instagram at MTS Podcast. Patreon.com/MusicDon'tSuck. We also have a bonfire. Go to bonfire.com/MusicDon'tSuck. And suddenly you'll find our stuff there, and you'll find a bunch of stuff Neil's made. And I think you should put a couple up today, in fact, different ones.
Yeah, I did. I made the shirt that John Cena's wearing in the movie we're doing. Ricky Schnicky says, I don't trust soup. I made a sequel to Oppenheimer called Oppenheimer 2, Nuclear Boogaloo.
Yeah, yeah.
And what else did I do this week? I think I did one that was, White Trash Beautiful. That was a friend of mine that wanted that one. Well, somebody asked me. Somebody wanted those, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't, like, and that's, again, a thing. If you want a design, just ask me, guys, and I'll be more than happy to make one for you.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, go ahead and subscribe. And so when we set that up, it goes straight to your device. And it does shit. So we're waiting for you. You know, who are we talking about today?
Today we're going to be talking about a place that Chris got to visit, mm-hmm. in the good old land of New Arizona.
New Zealand, actually.
I was so close.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, you know, they're only like 14 hours away. Yeah. And this place is a place that Chris liked, and I can see why he liked it, because it's in Auckland. Is that how I pronounce it? Auckland?
Auckland. Auckland.
Auckland. Auckland. Capital. So it's Auckland, New Zealand, called Dice and Fork. Now, Dice and Fork is a board game cafe, just like most of the places that we all know and love here in America, like our friends over at Pawn and Pint or Reroll Tavern. It is a beautiful, man, like this looks just cool, man. Like this block looks cool. And then they have over 150 games in there, including not only just board games and great games. They also have game nights like trivia night and such things like that, new board game nights and movie nights as well. They have some of the best food in the local area. In fact, I looked them up online, and, man, I want some of these things.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I got hungry from after eating this. Yeah. I had to drink a whole beer really quick, like, so I could not be hungry anymore. Yeah. They got a 4.9 out of 5 on on Google reviews. I mean, so they obviously must be doing their stuff right. But if you are ever in New Zealand near the wonderful world of Hobbiton, I'm guessing this is just right down the road.
Actually, yeah, Hobbiton's like a good couple hours away, but we did go there.
Oh, man, that's still down the road. That's still down the road.
Yeah, I mean, down the road off a highway, yeah.
Anywhere, if it's less than 6 hours, it's just right down the road.
Yeah, this is true, especially in the U.S.
And how it works is they don't charge for the games. You just order food or drinks, and the board games are free to play. You're playing longer than 2 hours, and you require $25 to spend at least $25 per person. And need help with game selection, they'll get a quick tutorial. They will help you, and they will walk you through it. Yeah. They got everything available from monthly tournaments to Saturday open game sessions to alternating Tuesday and Thursday's D&D. Which me and Chris are a huge fan about because we are huge fans of the D&D. Mm-hmm. You like D&D, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you still friends of the D&D people? Are they your friends? Are they your buddies?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But Dice and Fork, if you want to get more information, is at www.diceandfork.co.nz, or you can go to Facebook at Dice and Fork.
Yeah, so guys, go there. You know, we had a good time. I like getting tipsy at Dice and Fork.
You always like getting tipsy. Like, tell me one story you haven't told me from New Zealand yet, right now, to everybody. I want to hear it.
You want me to tell you about when I went to Hobbiton? You want to hear that story?
What? Any story. Anything I haven't heard.
All right, so we went to Hobbiton. We went on, like, a tour. So they take us, they take you in a bus, and there's this guy over the speakers. But he's just telling you about, like, the land you're driving through. And you come to Hobbiton, and they take you to this building. This is just like a gift shop. And then you get on the real bus to Hobbiton. It takes about 10 minutes. You pass up these lands. There's sheep and shit everywhere. It looks just like the Shire, right? And you got, and on the bus, they play a video for you from Peter Jackson telling you about the set you're about to step on.
Oh, my God. That'd be kind of cool, the video of Peter Jackson. And then Peter Jackson's like, hey, Don't get caught smoking dope in the back
Anyway, we get off the bus and you don't see anything. You just go through a gate and then it opens up and you see all the hobbit holes. Like just open up to you. And it's awe inspiring, dude. It's great.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And did it make you want to go home and like start building stuff?
No, it didn't. It wasn't that inspiring.
It was beautiful, but it wasn't that inspiring.
No, I can't make my backyard look like that, sadly. So there were like about 30 hobbit homes and you go through that and the guy walks you through and you take pictures in front of it. And in the very last part, you actually go into a hobbit home, but it's, you go inside it. Like you get to see the fireplace, you can see the bathrooms, you get to see all the shit they have in it. And I was hoping that I could stay there just for the night. I was like, is there a way for me to rent this for the night? We could stay there. So, and then I got a beer at the Hobbit pub, man. Those are good times.
Dude, it's just like the Winchester Mansion. I've been trying to stay there since I heard they were going to turn into a hotel. Yeah. I call them at least once a year.
Yeah. You guys in any rooms
open? And ask and be like, hey, are you going to be a hotel yet? Because I want to stay there. Because you're supposed to be the spookiest. Because, come on, who doesn't want to go to the spookiest place on earth and try to get possessed by Satan?
Right.
I mean, I do.
I mean, you want to meet that guy.
So. I want to go. I want to do it. I want to be all about it. All right, well, let's talk about our first movie of the evening, and that is the Amazon Prime movie known as Rickety.
Oh, yeah. Rickety Snickety. This is directed by Peter Farrelly. You guys know who directed things like Dumb and Dumber, with Something About Mary, I Mean Myself and Irene, fucking Hall Pass. He's half of the Farrelly Brothers. Written by Jeffrey Bush Show, Brian Jarvis, and James Lee Freeman. This stars Zac Efron as Dean.
What the fuck are you talking about? You're trying to be my friend?
Also, John Cena. John Cena is Ricky Stenicki, or Rod Armstead.
I will fuck you, all right? I will enter you.
Andrew Santino plays JT.
And there's no way to prepare you for a prostate exam as a guy.
Also, Jermaine Fowler. Jermaine Fowler's in this. He's...
And I was like, you okay?
I'm fine.
And also, this stars William H. Macy as Dean's boss.
You feel good, right?
Neil, why don't you go into the storyline for Ricky Stenicki?
Ricky Stenicki. Oh, you know what you do? Hit it.
Oh, sorry.
When three childhood best friends pull a prank that goes wrong, they invite their imaginary friend, Ricky Stenicki, to go get them out of trouble. 20 years after creating this friend, Dean, JT, and Wes still use the non-existent Ricky as a handy alibi for their immature behavior. When the spouses and partners get suspicious and demand to finally meet the fabled Mr. Stenicki, they bring him to life. But when Rod takes his role as a lifetime of a lifetime too far, they begin to wish they never invented Ricky in the first place.
All right. Yeah, so that's Ricky Stenicki. I mentioned that Jermaine Fire plays the role of Wes. I didn't have that pulled up because I'm an idiot. All right. It's Ricky Stenicki.
You're fired.
So I want to mention that this movie's fucking hilarious, dude.
Huh?
This movie's fucking hilarious.
This movie is one of the funniest fucking movies that has been out in years. Now, when you go to find out, now first, did you know this about this movie going in? Did you know this movie has been around? Oh, dude, I got the wrong background. My bad. That's for later. I'm sorry. There we go. There we go. Now, Rock Hard Rod. Yeah. This movie has been around for over 14 years.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Look at this. Look at this life right now. The movie was first announced in 2010 as James Franco Stenicki. Then he passed it to Joaquin Phoenix that after a while, he noticed that it wasn't going in production. So he passed it on to Jim Carrey, who waited a whole year and it didn't go in production. So he was like, I can't fit it in my schedule now. And then Nicolas Cage was like, yeah, because he wanted to do his comedy stuff again. And he couldn't get the backing as a Cage film. So finally, Amazon and Zac Efron bought the film and the script, and they hired John Cena to play Ricky.
And he's so good in this. He's so good.
Oh, my God. So this is my conundrum or my epiphany idea that I came up with last night. All right?
Okay, yeah, listen.
There's three wrestlers that have become synonymous with acting these days.
The Rock, John Cena, and Dave Bautista.
Yep. The Rock. What movies does The Rock star in all the time? Action films.
Yeah.
Big money, million-dollar action films. Uh-huh.
He's more of an action star than an actor, I would say.
He's the action star, okay? That's period. He's the action star. Bautista always plays in spooky, besides the Guardians of the Galaxies, he plays in spooky sci-fi dramas. Mm-hmm. Blood Rant, Blade Runner, Knock at the Cabin, Hotel Artemis, Dune. Like, yeah, he's a big dude that always is the big guy in these movies.
He's a great actor. He's a great actor.
Yeah, but he plays these dramatic sci-fi like all the time, because even his comedies don't really pull it off. Guardians of the Galaxy works because he has that whole staff, but when he does the solo comedies, let's be honest, nobody, I Spy or My Spy, whatever the, we can't even remember the name of it. Yeah. That's how, and we reviewed it. All right.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. John Cena does all raunchy comedies.
Yeah. Yeah,
and everything that he's good in is Trainwreck, Cock Blockers, you know.
Vacation Friend. Yeah.
Like, everything he's good. So we have three pro wrestlers that are out there in the acting world right now, but each one of them are completely in different fucking worlds, man.
And I think my favorite is John Cena and Dave Bautista right now, because they just keep making good movies. And,
John Cena, this movie. All right, guys. This is the guy who created this is actually, I think I have. Here we go. The writers of this movie are Farley, who is the guy who's behind Me, Myself, Irene.
Yeah, he's half the Farley brothers. Yeah, yeah.
He's some of the most famous movies of all time. Jeffrey Bushell, who did Marvin, Brian Jarvis, who did the greatest beer run ever, didn't we review that one?
No, we didn't.
I just saw that, I think, randomly. Really good movie. I can't believe we missed it. James Lee Freeman, who does Louderman.
Have you been watching Louderman, by the way? Have you been
Louderman's one of my me and Danny's favorite shows, man.
Pete about Jones a sober Hall guy. Yeah. Yeah.
But seriously, this is just... Chris, what's your opinion? Give me your opinion on it.
Back to back, just fucking... I was dying laughing and I was watching this. I was on the bed rolling around laughing at this because it's so fucking funny. There's joke a minute and they... It's just... I love the first hour of this movie so much. I laughed so many times in this.
Splooge out on my tummy.
Yeah, so it's just... It's so fucking... It's raunchy. This is not for everyone, but it's just, it's really.
Come on me.
Yeah, I got you, dude. But I thought this was really, 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 really funny. And I was.
It's a nice day for a whacking.
It has the worst name on the planet. I hate the name of it. And when I heard the name, I was like, But it's ridiculous, it's stupid, and it's so fucking funny. You know, like
it is so ridiculously funny that this movie they just play off of each other so well.
Oh, yeah.
And this is my other thing. Zac Efron is now the straight man.
I know, like, I mean, yeah, I guess so. Like, I mean,
right? Like, because, like, I gave you Neighbors, which was 10 years ago, mm-hmm. where he was the rambunctious weirdo that's fucking everything up. And he's the straight man.
But he was Kevin Von Erich as well. So, like,
I know, right?
But he plays the straight man, and Cena is the wild man in this one. And Cena is perfect for the role. Perfect.
Dude, because it's like the story of Ricky Stenicki and like the way that John Cena has that charisma, because mm-hmm. John Cena has charisma. If you've ever been, there are several wrestlers I've been in an area or a room with that you just get it. You're just like, when you're in the room with John Cena, you just get it. You're just like,
that's a good dude. You know, his Make-A-Wish thing, he's in 650 and the previous record by someone else is 200.
I think I have it somewhere where I was marked where John Cena did the, yeah, was the first celebrity ever to grant 500 wishes.
Now he's in over 650 now. So,
damn.
Yeah, and so John Cena is an angel among men, and he's all fucking hilarious. And Ricky Stenicki, you guys, this is on Amazon. You have to go see this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how you see this movie. This is a classic. This is going to be one of those movies that 10 years from now you can still turn on. In fact, it was so funny that John Cena launched his OnlyFans as Ricky Stenicki. Like, you can go find him on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Like, these guys did, I believe they were best friends their entire life. Like, John Cena playing the alcoholic turned sober guy, like, just made sense. And it was funny because they start putting him in suits, and it's like, that's the stuff he wears.
Yeah, yeah.
He wears suits. He doesn't wear t-shirts and jeans anymore.
He can't fit in them because he's just so fucking buff. But
Well, obviously he can fit them. I mean, like, he's right there in a t-shirt. But anyway, he's almost a billionaire. So, like, literally, he just wears suits all the time. So, like, when you get to see him in his actual normal kind of clothes being weird, it was just kind of really fun. But I have to say, this is one of those movies that, man, no alcohol required. Like, no weed is needed. Like, this is a movie that is just freaking hilarious.
It's very, very funny. It's a little long. It's a little long. I think it's a little too long, but that's, I'm not trying to.
Really?
Yeah. Is that almost 2 hours long?
It felt like 10 minutes.
Okay. All right, dude. But
yeah,
but,
to me, I didn't even know it was 2 hours until you just now told me. I did not look that up. I did not think this was almost. I thought this was a cute little an hour and a half movie. I did not know this was a 2 hour movie until you just told me. Yeah. And I watched the fucker twice.
It's very funny. It's a very funny movie.
Like, I've already seen this movie twice, and I slept 14 hours on Monday. All right,
that's too many hours.
It was, dude. I know I partied way too much. I worked too much and partied a little bit. And then, like, man, I had to pass out for a whole day.
Yeah.
It happens.
But, Reeks and Nikki, you watched this what? Monday? Sunday? When did you watch this?
I watched this Tuesday morning and Tuesday night. I went and saw the other movie in between seeing this twice.
Yeah. I understand why you did that. Well, you kind of watch this, but if, this.
Well, my wife was asking what I was watching, and then there's that great scene with the guys and all that stuff. But then you had the scene with you can't even really see him behind us. But our good old DJ guy,
Mark Rubler, Billy, yeah, Mark
Rubler. Yeah, I love that guy. I follow him on YouTube.
Reeks and Nikki. It's very fucking funny. I did not expect the lights as much as I did. I was very happy, getting out of it. So, yeah, man, this is quality comedy, and I'm sure critics hate it, but me and Neil aren't critics. We're movie lovers, so
we're just people that love movies, right, Chris?
My score in this is a 4.1. Mm-hmm. Fuck it, 4.2. This movie's fucking hilarious. Reeks and Nikki is great.
You know what? Fuck you, Chris. 4.4. bitches in your face. Because you know what? This gave me the solidation. The proof is in the pudding. John Cena is funny as fuck and deserves to be an actor.
Well, we knew that he was
There's so many times I've seen John Cena in things over 14 years now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That I've seen him in things where I'm just like, maybe John Cena is not the actor. Maybe he just needs to go back to only doing wrestling. Like, example, Marine. Marine would be a great example
But Cockblockers changed your mind though, right?
Yeah, it was before Cockblockers. It was Trainwreck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think Trainwreck was the one that was like,
oh, you mean
I will fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does he say? I can't hear you.
I will fuck you, all right? I will enter you.
Yeah, so...
That one. So, like, seriously, guys, I can tell you better what to do with this except for go look at it. Chris?
Yeah. I'm on runtimes.com. What is the audience score for Reeks and Nikki?
Audience score has to be... I'm going to have to go... Has to be at least 84%.
You're off. 74.
Really? By 10?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Neil. What's the critic score for Reeks and Nikki?
Critic score is going to be like 72.
It's 46%.
What?
Yeah. Here's the critic's consensus.
I don't care what they fucking say. Now. I really don't. They can fuck off with that.
Reeks and Nikki get some big laughs thanks to John Cena's up for anything performance, but they aren't enough to support the movie's thin plot and excessive runtime. Whatever, man. I'm going to read a bad review and a good review because we like this movie. This is from Richard Roper of Chicago Sun-Times. He says, this not disparages the talents of likable stars Zac Efron and John Cena, not to mention a terrific supporting cast. I'm not sure even an alpha of retirement Daniel Lewis and his pride Eddie Murphy could rescue this material. Fuck you, Richard. This is from John Anderson of the Wall Street Journal. He says, it is all quite preposterous, and every time Mr. Cena performs a selection from Rod's Filthy Repertoire, one cringes, but he makes the worst most of the part, abandoning any hint of a post-wrestling persona. Which is just saying he's fucking... I'll read a better one than that, because you and I like this thing a lot. You know?
And, yeah, go for it, bro.
I'm trying to find him real quick. Fuck it. This is from Hannah Ross of CBR. She says, Reeks and Nikki is a blast from the past that evokes the best and grossest qualities of comedies in the 2000s. I get that. Comedies were better in the 2000s, honestly. So this is Reeks and Nikki. You guys can find on Netflix or Amazon. And if you're like me and Neil, you'll laugh your ass off at this.
So. Yes. Yes, you will. Chris, let's talk some news.
All right, let's do some news.
This is the Movies That Don't Suck and Some of Them News. Me and Chris are going to read stuff out loud because, damn it, we just like to do it.
too much about the Oscars. Right. Let's do the Oscars. Let's talk about that real quick.
Of course, we're going to start off with the one and only, the most important trophies of the entire year. That's right, folks. The one, the only.
Academy Awards. So.
No, no.
Oh, Razzies.
The Razzies!
Oh, I didn't see who won these. Who won the Razzies? What got worst picture?
You didn't even see the Razzies,
no.
Huh?
No, who won? Who got best sports picture?
All right, who do you think won worst picture of the year?
What were the nominees?
The nominees are Shazam, Fury of Gods, Expendables 4, Winnie Pooh, Blood and Honey, Meg 2, The Trench, and The Exorcist, Believer.
Was it Expendables 4?
No.
What was it? What was it? Was it Exorcist
Believer? Winnie the Pooh, oh, yeah. Blood and Honey!
Yeah, I heard you sucked too. I heard it was awful.
Worst director of the year?
Who the nominees?
Nominees are Ben Wheatley for Meg 2. It's everything. The only one that changed is added is Peyton Reed at Ant-Man and Wasp. Scott Wong for Expendables 4. David Gordon Green, Exorcist Believer, and Rhys Frank Waterford for Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, the director of Oscar.
Winnie the Pooh! Who won Worst Actor of the Year?
The guy.
Oh, that one. Nope. Neither one of those. John Voight, Mercy, as Patrick Quinn.
Okay.
Worst Actress, Megan Fox for Johnny and Clyde, which that movie did suck.
Okay, I didn't even see
that. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, I saw like 15 minutes of it, and I was like, yeah, I'm done with this. Yeah. Worst Supporting Actor, Sylvester Stallone for Expendables 4, because he dies 5 minutes into it. Worst Supporting Actress, Megan Fox for Expendables 4. Worst Screen Cameo, Pooh and Piglet in Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Worst remake, ripoff, or sequel, Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. Worst screenplay, Winnie the Pooh. And the Razzie Redeemer Award goes to Fran Dracer for helping with
bringing everyone back. All right, cool.
The actors. Cool. But now let's talk about right, the one and only. The Oscars.
And it's really just like, it's like, Oppenheimer took everything, right? You're like,
No, they did not. Shut up. No, they did not. Right, they took like four awards. They took four awards.
They took the big
and
ones.
Everybody in their goddamn fucking ass is like, oh, they took everything. How many awards support things get?
You got four, right? You got costume design.
Oh, awards did fucking Barbie get?
Zero, which is fucked up. Let's see what they won for.
They won for cinematography and they won for best song.
Did they win for cinematography?
I think they did.
I don't think they did.
Right there in front of me. See, winner Ami, Hammer, Hammer, Hobby. So there's those four things. Poor things. Holdovers. Holdovers won for best actress.
Divine. Yeah.
The Boy and the Heroine won. That's another one. Anatomy Fall wins best original score play. Oh, I think that's the one I thought it was. Anatomy of a Fall won. Poor Things won. Mm-hmm. The Last Repair Shop won. Zone of Entrance won best international film. Mm-hmm. Poor Things won best makeup and hairstyle. Best original score was Oppenheimer. Best original song, Barbie, Billie Eilish.
Yeah. Oppenheimer won best.
Best moment of the fucking night
was John
Barbie.
Cena. Oh, yeah. I can.
Dude, it was.
I'm just kidding.
It was.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
It was until that happened right there.
Yeah.
Until that happened.
Yeah. The performance was amazing. It was amazing.
Oh, my. I've watched it like 10 times. Yeah. I mean, until then, this was the best part.
Yeah. John Cena got naked. I told you guys.
Butt naked. And if that wasn't enough, this right here was one of the best scenes. Mm-hmm. Now, I even listened to an interview yesterday of Michael Keaton. This is what it is Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito was presenting an award, and they're talking about Batman killed them. Even though Arnold Schwarzenegger was killed by a different Batman, we're just going to overlook that because it was funny. And then they go to look for Michael Keaton. And then Michael Keaton, the next day on Jimmy Kimmel, even tells a story about how he was pre-warned about this, that this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So he brought one of his ascots
Oh, yeah.
To put it under his shirt, because the rest of the show, if you notice, he's not wearing the ascot. He's just walking around with just the open shirt and stuff like that. So right before this moment happens, he put on the ascot to make himself look more Bruce Wayne-ish.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, and he goes, that's how an actor thinks.
I just, make it clear that Oppenheimer won Best Cinematography, not Barbie.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, whatever. But anyway,
you know, I just want to make it clear.
Anyway, so fuck not Cillian Murphy won a Oscar for Crappyheimer.
You liked it. Yeah, Oppenheimer. I don't know why you're talking so much shit on. You admitted you liked it.
I did.
It's in your top 10. It's in your top 10. It was in your top 10.
It's just. No. When you just you can't
do that. You can't just contrarian. You can't just change your mind because it won all this shit.
Guess what? You know how many human beings used to love the Patriots until they kept winning? You know how many people used to love the Kansas City Chiefs, but now they're winning, so now everybody hates the Kansas City Chiefs.
Guess what?
I'm an Oppenheimer with me.
But that's disingenuous.
No, it's not disingenuous. No. Well, let me finish my fucking sentence. I hate it when people interrupt me when I'm trying to explain myself. All right. It's not disingenuous. It's the fact that I think other movies deserved over them some of their awards.
So you're going to talk shit about me just because it won things?
Yes, because people are now just giving it things because, it's the thing to do.
Well, I don't think it was the thing that people chose, but
I do. Best picture. Do I agree? Yes.
I don't agree.
Leading role. Do I agree? Yes. Even supporting role. Maybe. I like Robert Downey Jr., but 200% do not think he was the best supporting actor out of the list of people they gave.
I don't think Oppenheimer is the best.
By far. He'd be right above Sterling K. Brown, like literally in the list.
Sterling K. Brown should have won. I'm with you on that.
It should have been Mark Ruffalo, Ryan Gosling, Robert De Niro, then Sterling K. Brown, Sterling K. Brown's the last two.
Sterling K. Brown should have won that. But I'm not mad that it won. I still like the
movie. I think Mark Ruffalo should have won it because Mark Ruffalo was such a big, important supporting part.
A poor choice.
Robert Downey Jr. was even in Oppenheimer until our award season came. He was in it for like 5 minutes. If he was in it for longer, it was a 6.5-hour movie.
I still like the things I like. I don't give a fuck with the awards. I can change my feelings on it.
No. I just think it's one of those things where it's like, everybody likes this. Let's just give it to them.
The awards didn't change how I feel about movies. Because it doesn't matter. You know that. It shouldn't matter.
Well, best director by far was not Christopher Nolan. It was either Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moons or Lanthimos for Poor Things.
I think Poor Things should have won best score, honestly.
I did too. And what was another one? Best adapted screenplay should have been Barbie. Should not have been American Fiction.
I'm with you on that.
Barbie would just blew everybody out. Nobody knew where Barbie came from.
I think Barbie should have been best original screenplay because it's that creative and original. Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just my thing. So I was just a little upset with some things. But we did have some really good moments, including the naked John Cena, Emma Stone crying her little eyes out.
Wasn't that cute?
Dress is broken.
Wasn't that cute? It was adorable.
She just didn't know what the fuck to do.
I will say that.
It was really cool. I liked how Ryan Reynolds threw them all under the bus.
So Oppenheimer was the best made movie this year, but it was my favorite. Not by a long shot. So Poor Things is my favorite on this one. And then Barbie, and then probably Oppenheimer after that. But but you know what? I'm happy for Chris Nolan finally getting the Oscar he wanted. And I was fine with everything that won. Honestly, I do think that Lily Rose should have won for Killers of Fire Moon. I think she should have won that, but that's just me. But you know this.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that I would have liked to spread the love a little bit, man. Yeah. I feel like if something gets Best Picture, let's not just fucking overbar it with all the other awards. You get Best Picture. Give everybody an Oscar in the movie because it's the best. It is the Best Picture. Let's go concentrate on some other movies.
I mean, like, I know that, I mean, it's anonymous voting, supposedly, so I don't know exactly how it goes like that, but
I get it. They're racist. But anyway, let's move on. Move on from the Oscars. Let's go to the actual news segment. Here we go. Are you ready? Because we have over 142 stories from this past
week. We can't do all of them.
I know. That's why I'm trying to hurry up. Dwayne Johnson is reteaming with one of the greatest actors of all time for Jungle Cruise 2. That's right. Him and Emily Blunt have signed the deal. They will be filming in a second version of the Jungle Cruise movie. I don't know when he's going to do that because he's part of WrestleMania, doing a lot of stuff with the WWE right now. So best of luck to him. I don't know if this says good things or bad things, and I'm kind of saddened by this, so it kind of upsets me. Salem's Lot remake is now skipping theaters and going directly to HBO Max.
I don't know, man. I like Salem's Lot. I like the book quite a bit. I think you do, too, as you're a Stephen King fan.
Yes.
But I don't know, man. I don't think that's kind of scary. You know, like, when they're like, we're just going straight to streaming, which is, I mean, I bet Roadhouse is good, but that's going straight to streaming as well.
Roadhouse. I mean, Rickety Snickety was
very funny. Very funny.
Hey, when you think of Christmas, who's the two guys you think of?
Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hey, you got one of them right. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Alan Ritchson, also known as the new Jack Reacher, is going to be making a Christmas action flick called The Man with the Bag. Directed by Adam Shankman, the movie follows Santa and a former thief on a heist to retrieve a stolen magic bag.
Who's playing Santa in that?
I'm guessing it'll be Arnold.
Okay, well, he can do it.
And the thief will probably be Alan Ritchman, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the big fucking buff dude. Both of them just fucking hulking, you know, like.
You know, yeah. Well, I mean, Arnold's now like 105.
He's pretty old, right? Man. Yeah, he's pretty old.
He's getting up there.
He can't see Neighbor, apparently, according to the State Farm commercial.
State Farm is there. Yeah. Steven Spielberg, while getting interviewed for the good old Oscars this week, has confirmed he is making a sequel. Ready Player 2 is being worked on right now and is in production and is starting in 2025 based on his schedule. The novel by Klein serves as the basis for the cinematic sequel, promising new wonders in the Oasis. Ty Sheridan, the lead in Ready Player 1, has already been signed to the sequel deal.
I don't know about Ready Player 2. Maybe it'll be fun. It's just
that. It doesn't matter. Hey, you know what's cool? Because of when it started filming, I'm guessing it's going to come out in 2026. You know what else is going to be coming out in 2026?
Batman 2.
The Batman 2 has now been pushed back and delayed
until
2026.
How upset are you?
I don't care.
I heard about this earlier, and I'm like, Neil must be kind of pissed about it. But Neil, I know what you're happy about.
I got the Crow movie going. Yeah, I'm great.
You're good.
I got the Crow movie going.
It comes out in what, June or July? When's it come out?
I'll look it up later. It was only the trailer release, so I didn't really.
Yeah.
It said coming soon in the trailer. It didn't say. Returning to one of the most one of the most famous roles in all of horror movies. That's right. Actor, actress, Nev Campbell has just signed a deal to return to the Scream series after they fired everybody because they're racist.
I don't want to talk too much about it in the last one, but how are they going to do that?
Yeah, I have no idea. Because literally they just fired those girls because they're standing up for their own rights. And so now they had to pay a shit ton because Neve Campbell was so upset with them about the last one.
Like,
they know they paid money hand out of fist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, everyone was sort of pissed that they fired everyone from the Scream stuff. So I don't know. It's whatever. Yeah. There's still plenty of good horror to come out this year. Mm-hmm. All
right. Yeah. All right. Spinal Tap 2 is filming right now. They are in the middle of filming. So far, special cameos that are popping up is going to be Elton John, Paul McCartney, Questlove, your own favorite, Oklahoma's own, Garth Brooks, and Trisha Yearwood.
And Harry Shearer is 80 years old. So
who?
Harry Shearer. He's a member of Spinal Tap.
Man, 105 years old. Greta Garbo wants to do a sequel now. She's ready to dive back into Barbieland for a sequel. Now, remember when it came out, she's like, I don't think that would be
any now, Greta Garbo wants to do a sequel for it?
Now she wants to do a sequel. I'm not dismissing it, and I kind of want to do it now that I've been thinking about it for a little bit.
All right, we'll see.
That's what she said. Yeah, we'll see. Hey, they are natural born killers once. Why couldn't they do it again? Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis are reuniting to be serial killers in a new movie starring Woody Harrelson and Mr. O-Man, the O-Face, that guy, the goo, I don't know. Mr. Owen Wilson himself will be in the scene.
That great well. You could do better.
Yes, it was. Just all you're going to do is talk like this.
I think John Cena did better.
Yes. Anyway, Natural Born Killers stars Woody Harrelson and Julius Knight in a serial killer called Lips Like Sugar. The feature marks the directorial debut of Brental Gurtitis and includes all-star cast of Owen Willis, Wilson, Aaron Moradi, Catherine Newton, and Sasha Cowell.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Is this a comedy?
No, Natural Born Killers wasn't a comedy.
I mean, I'm not saying this. I'm asking the one with this one is the one they're about to make.
Detectives investigating a possible serial case in 1984 Los Angeles during the Summer Olympics.
Probably not. Okay. Probably not.
Gosh. Let's see. The Island of Dr. Monroe is going to get made.
They've made it, though, like several times.
Several times, but this time I think they got it. Because if you're going to do the Island of Monroe, if you're going to do the Island of Monroe, of Dr. Moreau, who do you get at this time, this part of history? Who is the person?
I don't know. Do they have a cast list on this one?
Oh, they got Dr. Monroe.
Who's it? Dr. Moreau.
I can't believe you don't even want to give it a guess.
Well, I mean, dude, there's a million people I can go from. Who the fuck is it? Like, you asked me to pick, like, of the plethora of actors out there, I have to pick one person?
Someone who'd be cool as a scary old person sitting in a seat saying weird lines.
Tom Hanks would be a good one.
How about Anthony Hopkins?
Oh, that's pretty good. That's really good.
That's pretty fucking great. He's fucking right old there.
As shit, too. So.
I he would be perfect for the role. All right, let's go through a few of these really quick. So Anthony Hopkins is going to be Island of Dr. Moreau. Super Mario Brothers 2 has officially got given the green light and has a release date of April 3rd, 2026.
Okay.
This year, Margot Robbie was the person that was the most profitable money of the year, but guess what? She got beat. She beat Tom Cruise. Well, Ryan Gosling in the top five is Jennifer Aniston. Number four is Ryan Gosling tied with Matt Damon. Number three is Tom Cruise. Number two is Margot Robbie. Who beat Margot Robbie? Who made more money in 2023 than Margot Robbie?
Who?
Adam Sandler is the top of the earnings list of
2023. Interesting. Okay. Okay.
He made like a bunch of movies.
He's made Space
Jam. He made like a shit ton of movies. Dude. He had like six movies last year.
All right, fine.
Like, I think it was him and Nicolas Cage had the most movies in 2023.
Nicolas Cage movies that no one sees. So like no one's like, oh, Nick Cage movie? Okay. I mean, but yeah.
Zack Snyder has now confirmed that he doesn't know a fucking thing about comic books and doesn't ever need to touch a comic book ever again.
Good.
Zack Snyder thinks Batman not killing is making him an irrelevant superhero.
What do you think?
Him not killing was the whole relevancy of the character.
I thought you loved the Snyderverse, too.
That he could kill anybody, but what makes him a good... I did, but not until that fucking comment. Creator Bay DeMayo has been fired just a week before the premiere of X-Men 97. The creator of X-Men 97, who's already written the next two seasons, has been fired.
I think the first two seasons are done.
No word has been said why yet. I'm sure something will come out in the next couple days.
I think the first two seasons are done. Likely that he ran those in the...
Yeah. He's got the first one done. Second one's written. Third one's half written.
Okay. Are they going to steal his work?
Nicolas Cage confirms that talks are leading... Probably. Mm-hmm. Probably. Mm-hmm. They'll probably AI it.
Yeah.
It's Disney.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage confirms that talks have led to him and Spider-Man Noir live action series is coming in the future.
Okay. That's cool.
Dude, Spider-Man Noir from fucking, yeah. I mean, it's a good movie. Yeah. It's a good yeah,
character.
I like it.
Good character.
Nobody 2 and Violent Night 2 are getting some updates right now. David Leitch and Kelly McCormick teased the development of both movies are in the works. It's likely that both will start Violent Night 2 in 2025. Nobody 2 is likely starting production by the end of this year of 2024 and followed by Violent Night 2, which will start production at the beginning of 2025.
Both movies looking forward to.
So Nobody 2 and Violent Night. Yeah. I know those are movies we're looking forward to. Mm-hmm. Winnie the Pooh horror star says third movie is already coming and they're going to boost up the gore and savagery with Tigger.
I guess. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, after hearing how terrible the first one was, I'm like, okay, so they're just, they're going to make their money back and then just, like, just by this crazy idea or whatever. I mean, you know, whatever. They can do what they want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The name, I cannot pronounce this, so you're going to help me because as soon as I start mentioning it, you'll know who he is. Okay. Yorgos
Lanthimos.
Lanthimos. And Emma Stone have already signed a deal for a movie called Kind of Cadnet.
Bring it on.
Kinds of Kindness.
Bring it on.
And it'll be co-starring the fat Margaret Qualley, Joe Allen, some guy named Jesse Flemons? Jesse Blemons.
Oh, my boy.
I knew who it was. Hong Chai and Hunter Schafer are also in the movie. I knew you'd be happy about
this. Yeah, this is the third movie together, and they make a movie like, okay, so excited.
October 25th, 2024 will be the release of Venom 3, The Last Dance.
Is it the last Venom movie?
I guess. That's what it says. And last but not least, who knew? And nobody knew, but it's secretly been happening. And then we all got the little insight the other day at the Oscars. Patty Jenkins has secretly been working on the Star Wars Rogue Squadron movie that said was canceled earlier this year.
But it's not canceled.
Nope. She's been working on it and behind closed doors.
Okay. Just so you know. Okay. So you excited for that, by the way?
Dude, it's Rogue Squadron. If they can make it, this is the way I pictured them doing it, and I want them to do it. Mm-hmm. I want it to be Top Gun Star Wars.
Okay. Yeah.
If they do it that way, if they get it in that faction, if they make it too political or whatever, it's going to be dumb. I want to see people playing volleyball on a moon with their shirts off. I want to see people like in the sky, like doing dog fights with X-Wings. And
do you want Tom Cruise looking from afar while they're playing volleyball?
Yeah, I want somebody on a land speeder going 500 miles an hour. You know why Kenny Loggins is like highway to the danger zone.
Just so you know, June 7th is the day the Crow is released. That's 2 days from
June 7th.
That's nice. 2 days from my birthday.
I'm gonna get drunk. I'm gonna get drunk and go see that.
Well, don't get drunk and see it. See it sober first.
Okay. No. That's why I have to get in a fight in the theater. I want to be numbing.
You want to talk about fights in the theater? What's up in the next movie? You ready to get up?
And that's the news. That was the movies of Sunken. Some of them new. I told Chris a bunch of stuff. He has to be happy with it because I'm not reading him any other shit.
All right, let's talk Imaginary. Directed by Jeff Wadlow. He directed Fantasy Island and bunch of other shit. He directed Fantasy.
Oh my god. All right. Hey, Chris. Uh-huh. Chris.
Yeah.
Hey. Woosah. Okay.
So he directed.
Talk nicely.
Okay. Jeff Wadlow.
Professional.
It's directed by Jeff Wadlow. He directed things like, you know, like Kick Ass 2, Blumhouse's Truth or Dare, Dream Blumhouse's Fantasy Island, and now he's back with Imaginary. Also written by Greg Irvin, Jason Orman.
Oh, anyway, this guy did. Wait. This guy did Fantasy Island, and they gave him a second fucking movie.
I know. And then, okay, hold on, I'm not done yet. DeWanda Wise plays Jessica in Imaginary.
So, if I'm a sex addict, what does that make you?
Tegan Burns plays Taylor.
Third grade's a nightmare.
Piper Braun plays Alice.
She got cut.
Betty Buckley plays Gloria. Tom Payne plays Max.
For the first time, I feel like I belong.
Veronica Falcone plays Dr. Soto. Samuel Sato plays Ben. And Matthew Sato plays Liam. I want to play the theme song for this really quick.
Some people fear imagination isn't real, but I tell them that they're wrong. Because whenever I want to play and pretend, I just sing the imagination song.
Yeah, what's the story after this?
I don't know. You just confused me with that. I don't even know where I'm at anymore.
It's one sentence.
I know. I see it. A woman returns to her childhood home, discover that the imaginary friend she left behind is very real, and unhappy she abandoned him.
So, Neil, you've seen M3GAN, right? Megan? You remember Megan, right?
What's that?
You remember Megan?
Yeah, the awesome horror movie, Megan.
M3GAN. So it was PG-13. They made it. It was originally R, and they fucked with it, and they made it PG-13. And then they're like, let's make another movie. Let's make it obviously PG-13. And that's this movie, Imaginary.
You know, do you want to go first?
You go first, Neil, because you have problems with it. I have problems with it too. But do you want to?
I was interested. The concept of this movie is fucking awesome. I love the concept. I love the concept so much. I was like, you know what, Chris? That sounds like a great fucking movie for us to review. Now,
Neil, it has two things. Now, it has two things. It has Blumhouse, mm-hmm. and it has this concept. And I knew that you're interested because if you guys don't know, Neil is a giant Freddy Krueger fan. Nightmare on Elm Street?
Well, it's not sleeping.
I know.
It's not sleeping. Okay. It's not dreams. Okay. This is imagination. Using your imagination. Just a kid's imagination.
Sorry. Go ahead.
And by any means, if you play that song again, there's only one thing I'm going to do to you. You know what that is?
I will fuck you, all right? I will enter you.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, but anyway, So anyway, this had a great idea. There is even a part in this movie where I was watching it, and when they're giving me the ideology behind it, the theories behind it, when they get the person that the crazy person that I'm not trying to ruin it for anybody, I'm not trying to spoil it
for you.
Yeah. But there's a person without saying the character's name or anything like that, but there's someone that shows you that they've been researching the shit forever. And I was like, okay, so this is going to get really good in a second. And the thing is, though, the whole entire movie, I was waiting for it to be really fucking good.
Yeah, this movie is not, is really fucking bad, obviously, honestly. I didn't like this movie at all.
No, I mean, it got to the point where I was like, there were certain parts in it where I was like, okay. I was like, oh, they'll get me the character. But then this thing pops out.
So, dude, I'm like, I want to mention this hour, the thing's out of 44 minutes. It feels like it's 3 hours. It is fucking, you know?
Yeah, and this movie just was like, I tried so hard. Now, the other thing for me, too, was the fact that I was one of three people in the four people in the fucking film. And the other three people was a couple with their 6-year-old kid watching this movie, just driving me up the fucking wall. But the acting in this movie was
it wasn't that great.
It wasn't that great. It was like, it was like a Lifetime movie.
The dialogue in this is fucking awful. I think I heard Bingo, the image of Bing Bong twice. I'm like, I got the joke the first time. I didn't laugh. Why say it again? My wife fell asleep.
All right. The director, what's his name? Jeff
Wadlow.
Wadlow. Mm-hmm. Jeff Wadlow. Yeah, his wad is low. All right. Things he produces are better than the things he directs. Like, I'm going through his list right now. You know, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Truth or Dare? You know, Bates Motel. Bates Motel was awesome. But this is not, I don't know if it's directing. I never got a feeling. Like, I never got what the feeling of this movie even was. I just kept getting lost. And then I'm supposed to care about a guy that you only see for like, what, 5 seconds? Like, how long did we see the husband for? Like a minute and a half?
Oh, my favorite thing about that is he's like, yeah, on tour. And then he goes on tour. He's like, five seasons. I was like, I can cancel the whole thing. So be them like, what the fuck are you talking about? You booked a tour and you're like, I can cancel it. No big deal. Like, who the fuck says that?
Nobody. Yeah, ever.
Exactly.
Unless you're a fucking millionaire. And even millionaires. Big rock bands. If they cancel a fucking tour, you know how much insurance and liabilities and all that
I can call it off. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Fuck you did, bro. Elvis couldn't even call it off. And he was the fucking Elvis, you know?
Yeah, so we're supposed to care about Max while he's away. And, you know, Jessica's looking after the two children. And she really wants to bond. And this shit happens, but it's a shitty movie, dude. Like, like even when that part happens that you're talking about, I'd lost. I'm like, they spent way too much time on this other shit. Like, give me the cool shit. And we, and the quote unquote cool shit isn't even that cool. You know?
No, there's pointing things in all the weird directions. It didn't make sense. And it just got to the point where I was just like, I don't think I care anymore.
Yeah. It's not a good movie.
And I tried to like give a shit. And by the end, I was just glad the whole experience was over. Yeah. The best part of this movie was when the credits hit.
And there's no post credits. That's even better. You know, like,
oh God, I know. Oh my God, I get to leave right away. And I didn't have to beat up the two people that were sitting right in front of me. But yeah, honestly, I wish I could give this some kind of happy story. I wish I could be like, Tom Payne saved the day. Piper Braun was adorable. Tegan Burns was the best part of the film.
Yeah.
She made me feel like she was a snot-nosed teenager.
Yeah. What about our friend Liam? He was like, I brought, you know, whatever, like that kid that's in the preview, which, you know.
Now, he wasn't even that good either. Like, Liam, I never once had any. There's not one point in this movie that I cared that anybody lived
or died. You know, either way.
Or lived or died. They could have murdered all of them in front of me, and I'd have been like, so maybe that's the problem. I didn't care about the characters. The story kind of went. And, like, it was like nothing really motivates you also, to like
it. Didn't it seem like I've seen this movie a million times before? Like other, yeah, but done better? Like, you know, like
this is a PG-13 shit horror film,
and it's cliched out. It's cliched the fuck out.
Like, cliched out. Like I don't know all the PG-13 movies I can think of right now off the top of my head, but like, name one of those PG-13 horror movies. Like, can you even think of them?
M3gan was actually pretty good though. Like that one was pretty decent.
Like what was?
Megan was pretty decent. You know,
your mom is pretty decent.
Calm down. With that.
Oh, Jaws: The Revenge. Oh, okay. Polaroid. Oh, there we go. Here we go. Oh, The Wicker Man. The Haunting. Yeah. Troll. Oh, these are older ones. Mm-hmm. Black Christmas. There's a good one from 2019. The Mummy. 2017.
Come on, the
20s. Victor Frankenstein.
The 2017 one is not very good.
The Village. Oh, there's The Village. Dracula Untold. That was the top 10 of worst of all time PG horror movies. That's what it was. It's like one of those where. Huh?
I didn't think The Village was that bad though. But I haven't seen it since I've become of age in movies. So maybe it's actually terrible. But. Yeah, I don't know, man. What the fuck happened with this movie? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I know what happened. They touched themselves in an ungodly way, and it was really weird. And then baby Jesus, like, interrupted and was like, no. Oh, Darkness Falls? There's another one.
Shit,
I remember Darkness. Oh, The Village again. Gosh dang, this is another one that's like The Village. Man,
what's your score? We'll do the score
part. Oh, the remake of Prom Night. Anyway, -4. Can we give a -4?
No, we got to do actual numbers in the. So, what's the number on this one?
2.
Okay, I'm with you. 2. It's a piece of shit.
2. I mean, like less than that. Like, this ain't even something to do. Like, literally, if somebody said, "I'm gonna put this movie in," I would find a way for this movie not to be on the screen in front of me. And if that means I have to literally run out the fucking door, scream my head off, or if I got to shoot them in the leg to make it so that they don't turn the movie in on the screen. Here's the best fact of the entire movie. The family moves into a house on Elm Street in Springwood, a reference to Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, so this is imaginary. This is theaters avoided at all costs. Neil says, we both don't like it. It's got its DA tag for sure. This is probably the worst thing Blumhouse has put out. Yeah. And they put out Fantasy Island, so that's saying something. So, but this thing guy directed it, so I don't know why they gave it to him. And, all right, Neil, I'm on RottenTomatoes.com.
Oh, you know what? That should be my next shirt. I need to come up with a play on that. Next t-shirt should be, "You're an STD, something to do."
Something to do.
Or, "I'm an STD, something to do."
Okay. All right. Well.
Well, yeah, I'm going to play with that.
Okay. All right, Neil. I'm on the RottenTomatoes.com. What's the audience score for Imaginary?
32.
52%.
Shut the fuck up! I know.
All right, what's the critic score for Imaginary?
They paid people for those remarks. There's no way people thought this was a good movie. Critics have to be at least 48.
27%.
Damn it! I should have gone lower.
Critics' consensus is, Imaginary's core concept is solid enough to produce a handful of scares, but too much of its potential is lost in a cliched story that gets bogged down in world building. You know, I'm going to do a good review, which they're pretty far between, and a bad review. This is from Christy Pachuco of Mashable. She says, "While a bit unwieldy, Imaginary is a playfully deranged movie that's sure to be a hit at some price. But grown-ups can enjoy its spirited scares too. These two grown-ups did not enjoy its spirited scares." This is from Peyton Robinson. "It suffers from the plague of overly convoluted plots that are executed by overly simplistic means, flat expositional dialogue, car commercial visual style, and seemingly fresh-jacked creative concept that never irons out the wrinkles." Peyton Robinson is a 1 out of 4, which fits in our thing. It sucks.
It sucks.
This movie sucks, and we're upset we saw it. But Neil went home and watched Ricky Syndicate again, and
Ricky Syndicate,
and it helped him out. So
I love Ricky. You know why I like Ricky Syndicate?
Why is that?
Because it has one person in it, one person only, and that person is. The WWE champion is the one, the only, the one they call John Cena! My time is up, my time is now. Your time is up, my time is now. Now I'm getting in a stiction with the defensive position, getting it down. Oh, sorry.
Which, you're exactly fine, too, but you didn't watch the movie for him, you watched it for... But that's our show for this week. Next week, we still have fear. We're watching. We'll find it. You know, one will be theaters. One will be streaming like we usually do. I'll look around. You looking for stuff right now? Because I hear you tapping.
Oh, dude, I just got an idea for another T-shirt. I'm gonna do right after I get you tapped
so fucking loud, and I can't like cut out the podcast.
I can't help it. All right, get the fuck over it. You know how much? You know how hard you breathe?
I don't breathe that hard.
Then you're like,
no, I'm not. I do not do that.
I know.
I begged to eat it like when I first started. When
you know how loud you queef?
Well, even louder. But no, like when when I first started getting with Leah, I asked like 6 months ago, you didn't tell me I breathe hard, right? Like she dated, did she date a guy like who was like, you know, the way through Pacific Rim, she said that he was just breathing like super heavy. So I hope I don't do that. But yeah,
your mom can do that.
Come on, but yeah, we'll be back next week.
Mom's nice lady. Don't be mad about her.
You can find us online. We still suck.net. We're on Facebook at Tom. /SnoozeOnSuck. We're on WTMnet.com. That's WNumber2MZMoviesNet.com. You'll find us there. All the bunch of other cool podcasts. We're on Instagram, NTS Podcast. We're on X, NTS Podcast. Patreon.com/SnoozeOnSuck. You'll find us there. Give us a few dollars so Neil can eat for once this month. Go to Bonfire.com. /SnoozeOnSuck.
I want to go to WrestleMania.
You're going.
I want to buy stuff.
You're going. You got money.
I know, but I need stuff, money for me to eat and shit.
Okay, if you guys want to, Neil,
buy T-shirts so I can buy food at WrestleMania. If not, I'm not going to be eating. All right, right. By this point, I think Mickey D's is about all I can afford.
Twinkies. Twinkies, Mickey D.
I'm not a big Twinkie guy.
What's your favorite Hostess cake then? Like, if you had to get like a cake at the corner store, what'd you get? Is it the cupcakes?
I guess Twinkies would be kind of. I mean, I like honey buns. I'm a honey bun person.
Yeah, you're one of those guys. Okay.
Pies, apple pies. Mm.
So find us online. Subscribe to our shit, and we'll do the nice things for you. Neil, what would you? Okay, Neil, who's your small business?
If you got a small business, let us know. We'll be more than happy to help them out. Just let us know, and we will cover you right here free of charge at Movies Don't Suck and Some Do. Just email us, message us, anything like that, and that will be the one that will make us all feel happy so we can advertise you to our thousands of listeners and millions of followers right here at Movies Don't Suck and Some To Do.
Are you out here, dude? I've got some few
weeks. Oh, yeah, let's get the fuck out of this hot dog stand. That's another episode of Movies Don't Suck and Some Do. My name is Neil.
I'm Chris.
And remember, guys, no matter how many times in your life you have to get away with things, don't all throw it on your imaginary friend, because sooner or later, it's going to bite you in the ass. Have a good day.